story of my life. You know what? I'm glad to be here. I've had several thoughts while I was sitting there. Good to see everybody come to the house of the Lord this morning. I'll share a few verses of Scripture with you in a few minutes. But first of all, you know, I was sitting there thinking and feeling this presence of God in this house. You know, that's something to be thankful for. I've been in a lot of church meetings when I don't know if God is there or not. You know, you just had to wonder and guess. But I like it when you feel the presence and know the power is here and available to us. It's that thing that's touching your heart a little bit. It's that thing that's opening your ears and letting you hear a little bit better. It's that thing that's letting you love your neighbor a little bit more. That's what the power of God is. And I've wondered, sitting here, that, you know, sometimes while I'm up preaching, I can see the congregation. I don't usually focus in on anybody in particular, but I've saw situations when somebody was really moved by the power of God, but they wouldn't move because I was talking. Y'all ever noticed that? Y'all don't see it like I do. And by the time I finished talking, the devil had robbed them of it, had took it away. You know, I know that's possible. You know, I saw it happen, that folks sitting, you know, and they're just maintaining, they're ready to make a move for the Lord and ready to do something different in their life or make a confession of faith or join a church or whatever. But because of respect, I guess they're giving me, and I don't deserve that respect, they'll see it and wait on an altar call. And before the altar call ever gets there, the devil done robbed them of it. Done got your mind on the ball game or what's for dinner today or all this and that. You know, and he uses those little things. You know, he'll put that in your mind a lot of times. So I want everybody to understand this. I don't care what I'm doing or what I'm saying. If the Lord moves you, this altar's open. Amen. I mean, you just come on. I mean, I can stop. You know, I'll have another day probably to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if not, it won't make a bit of difference. You know, it just won't matter at all. So I'm saying that because while I'm sitting here and I'm thinking about the songs that's been sung and the girl singing that song about how much the Lord loves us. You know, that's it, isn't it? How much the Lord loves us. And I'm thinking about how it touched me and thinking, you know, that just kind of a description of my life. You know, that sometimes I just can't comprehend the love of God that he has. You know, I don't always understand his will, but I know his will is working things out for my good and for your good. So anytime during this service, if you feel led by the Lord that you need to be doing something, just get at it. Just get after it. You know, that'd be the thing to do. Might be somebody right now, you're just ready to jump to their feet and say, praise the Lord. You know, I don't know your mind for a few minutes. Now, like I said, when it's your turn, get after it. Just get it on. It'll be all right with me. I've probably been interrupted by better people than y'all anyway. Amen. And I love you with all my heart. Okay. Psalm 71. We're going to talk about the love of God this morning. You know, I want to make it plain this morning that we serve a God that loves us. You know, that's without a doubt. You know, I know he loves us. He demonstrates it to me each and every day. I'm sure he demonstrates it to you in his own way. You know, he don't treat all of us the same because we're individuals. You know, we've all got different fingerprints and all voice patterns and all this stuff. But God loves all of us. In Psalm 71, verse 1, in thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion. Now, I want to stop that confusion. There's a lot of confusion goes on in this world today. I mean, a lot of people are just confused about a lot of things. You know, I preached last week that we're in an upside-down world that they'll take good and call it bad and bad and call it good. You know, they'll take truth and call it a lie, and they'll believe a lie and call it the truth. And so we're in an upside-down world, and that creates a lot of confusion. Well, you know, God said in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 33, is very plain about it. He said, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. So anytime you're confused in life, guess what? It's not God's working in you. You better look to another power. And there's only two powers here on the earth with us today, and that's the power of God and the power that God allows Satan to have. That's it. And so if you're not under the leadership of God, guess where you're being led by or who you're being led by. It said, deliver me in thy righteousness and cause me to escape. Incline thy ear unto me and save me. You know, he's asking for salvation and wanting to be saved. Now, he was using this as an enemy and delivering from the enemy. Our enemy is the devil. You know, that's just plain. It's listed. He is our enemy. And so when we start talking about incline thy ear unto me and save me, we're talking about saved by the grace of God, that we overcome and overpower the things of the devil and of the world. And when he talks about this power of God, it's through the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Without Christ, there's no salvation. Without his dying on the cross of Calvary, there's no forgiveness. And so we need to be observant of those things and remember those things, that God made the plan and God made the way, and God's leading us each and every day through his leadership. Verse 3, be thou strong, be my strong habitation, whereunto I may continually resort. Thou hast given commandment to save me, for thou art my rock and my fortress. So he's just resorting to and saying, you know, Lord, you've given a commandment. You know, it's God's word. He'd love all to come to the knowledge of the truth and the salvation through the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And when he starts down at the top, down at the bottom, he says, you are my rock and my fortress. Now, I could understand what Chris was talking about a minute ago. I talked to Chris earlier. He's had a hard week. Preston's had the flu. Some more family members sick. His grandmother's been in and out of the hospital. They don't know what they're going to do for her. But isn't it good to have that rock and that fortress that you can resort to, that you know God's in control? Brother Jim, when he's talking about Joyce getting well, you know, he's got that rock and that fortress, the same one we all have, if we'll use it. All we got to do is use it. It's available. Verse 4 said, deliver me, O my God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the hand of the unrighteous and cruel man. Verse 5, for thou art my hope, O Lord God, thou art my trust from my youth. And so he starts talking about hope and trust, and it comes from God and God only. There's no hope in the world. There's no trust in the world. But there's hope and trust in God through faith. Through our belief and believing what he'll do. And God will do exactly what he says he'll do. When God says, I promise, you're going to get it. You know, these promises, I've heard a lot of parents say, I'm going to whip you, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. They don't ever do nothing. But if God promises, you're going to get it. Amen? Let's hope he promises something really good that you're going to get it. I want to look at Psalm 139 just for a few minutes. I read this psalm quite often to remind myself that regardless of what I am and what I'm doing and what I'm thinking, God knows. God knows. Y'all ever thought about that? He even knows your dreams. You know, you might have a dream, wake up the next morning, you don't know what it was, but God knows your dreams. He's capable of all that. Psalm 39 and verse 1, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off. Can you imagine a God that knows everything going on in everybody's mind right here, right now, and he's not confused by it or he's not distraught about it? You know, he knows what your thoughts are. He knows if you've already moved ahead to the lunch menu. You know, I've done that before, and y'all, I've sat in the church meeting and thinking about what's for lunch, you know. And, you know, there'll be time for that. It said, thou compassest my path, my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. God knows you. He knows your thoughts. He knows your thoughts far off. He's acquainted with all your ways. Now, that's God. There's nobody here today that's confusing him or surprising him. He knows all about us. It said, for there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before and laid thy hand upon me. God knows you, knows all about you, knows about your thoughts, knows about your words, knows about your actions. Now guess what? He still loves you. Isn't that a wonderful thing? God still loves you, you know? And I'm sure some of us are harder to love than others. But he can love everybody. You know, it's hard for me to comprehend the love of God, that even when I mess up, he loves me. When I talk the wrong thing, he loves me. When I think the wrong thoughts, He loves me. And that's the promise we've got from God, that through all these things, He loves us. It goes farther, it said, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. And that's where I get this understanding that there's just times I can't comprehend or understand, but God still loves me. It's written in His book. It's promised by Him. It's going to happen. It said, whether shall I go from thy spirit, or whether shall I flee from thy presence? In other words, you can't go anywhere. You can't do anything to get out of the presence of God. God is present with us today, now, and forever. Amen. It said, if I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. And so these are promises of God. And I'm thinking about David, the psalmist, and he's thinking about all these things. And he had to be rejoicing and praising God in the fact that he knew him and loved him. David wasn't a perfect person, but he's a man after God's own heart. Have y'all ever thought about that? That's the way he's described. Let's look over New Testament just for a few minutes. St. John chapter 1. St. John chapter 1. Don't let my talking hinder your coming. They don't have to be music. They don't have to be singing. If God's dealing and working with you, I tell you, I came here this morning expecting something. I came this morning expecting something, you know, because the day that God had blessed us with, we saw that beautiful sunrise this morning, and saw the clouds clear out of the way and the wind start to blow in a little bit, and I thought, this is the day something can happen. This is the day God blessed us with. St. John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Now, when I read this, you know, that's a description of the time we're in now as well as in that day. That the light shined in darkness. There's the light of Jesus Christ in the whole world. But it said, but the darkness comprehended it not. They didn't realize what it was. They didn't accept it as the light of God. And so we need to understand that. And it starts talking about John. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but he sent to bear the witness of that light. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. And that's where we come back to the place that everybody has an opportunity. There'll be nobody lost and go to hell that didn't have a chance to be saved. God's going to give you one chance. He might give you more than that. I got several myself, but I can't say what He'll do for you, but He could. It said He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. The Creator of everything we see, the Creator of this whole world, the Creator of this beautiful sun this morning, it said He created it, He created the world, and the world knew Him not. Would this be your day to know Jesus, the Creator of all things, the Creator of all creations? That's anything you can look at, anything you can taste, anything you can smell, anything you can touch, anything you can see. That's what Jesus made. Would you accept Him as a Savior? It said He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Now, that's the key in this verse, is He gave unto them the power to become the sons of God. How do you become a son of God? You believe on Jesus Christ, the Savior. That makes you His brother, a child of God. And so when we get down to this point, you know, that's the most important thing we could do in this whole world, that we believe on Jesus Christ as Savior, that He'd save us. It said, which were born not of the blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. They have to have that second birth, born again. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of this of Him and cried, saying, This was He whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me. He was before me, and of His fullness have we all received grace for grace. All received grace for grace. This is amazing, isn't it, that God loves us enough to do this. It said, For by the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth come by Jesus Christ. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, He had declared Him. And that's still happening today through the Holy Spirit of God, declaring Jesus Christ as Savior of the world. Do you know Jesus? Have you claimed Him as your personal Savior? Have you accepted Him as a brother? Are you a child of God? That's where you need to be today. That's where everybody needs to be. That's God's will for your life, that you believe on the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I thought about John. It said he saw these things and he spake these things. He said, when it was talking about John, he said he lifted up his voice and cried in the wilderness. And I got thinking about the day we're in, and I want to add this day we're in, this time we're in, we've become a silent church. In a big part, we've become a silent church. We listen, stand in the crowd and listen to everybody talk about their ungodly feats and acts and all this, and we say nothing. But, you know, we're instructed to, in Psalm 107, verse 1 and 2, was very plain about it. It said, Give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. And then it goes a little farther in verse 2. It said, Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Y'all got that one? Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. And so if we're redeemed from the powers and the hand of the enemy, which is Satan, it said, Let us say so. Let us say so. You know, I think of John, the voice of one crying in the wilderness. He wasn't ashamed of Jesus Christ. I think it's time we start telling people, oh, by the way, let me remind you, I'm a Christian. I don't want to hear that garbage. Oh, by the way, I've got a Savior, Jesus, and I don't want to see that trash. Let the redeemed of earth say so. Could you, in good heart and good faith this morning, stand up, raise your hand, and say, I'm saying so, I'm a Christian. I'm saying so, I'm a child of God. Because when you do that, people look at you and they expect a certain way you live and a certain way you talk, a certain way you act around other people. All these things are expected of Christians. I still believe there's more needs to happen here today. I'm not a mind reader, God is. It said He knows your mind, your heart, and your thoughts, and everything. I'm not. So I don't know what's supposed to happen, but something's supposed to take place here this morning. Chris, let's have a verse of song. Just as I am.